The scripture reading for this morning will be Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. So if you have been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not as what on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. When the Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory.
Good morning again. I was a little remiss this morning. This is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Last night about 10 o'clock, I got 18 pictures on my phone from my oldest son of my newest grandchildren, the two twins that just turned 4 months. And after looking at all 18 of those pictures, I'm totally convinced that I like grandchildren better than children. And it's more fun being a grandfather. But I know they had a little to do with those grandkids, so I'm tickled to death for that. But happy Father's Day to all of you. You know, any time a family sits down to look at its values, it's probably going to be a good thing. Husbands and wives sit down every once in a while and they look to see the values and the priorities that they have in their lives, and to see if those have fit into the relationship that as husband and wife that they need to have with each other. As parents sit down and they look to see if the time that's being spent with their children is of a nature that brings them into a proper perspective, not only of God, but of the family unit and of life itself. This morning I want to consider the family here at Glenpool, and this is probably more of just talking to you than it is a sermon as such. In the passage that we just read a few moments ago, Paul reminded and encouraged the Colossian brethren there of the values that they should have. And he told them that based on their relationship with Christ, they should seek things above. That they should set their mind on things above where Jesus was. That there is a difference in the value system that we have when we become a part of God's kingdom. If you were to follow that on down to verse 10, he even says that they put on a new self in Christ. We're totally different from the world at this point in our lives. And I would suggest this morning that to be a child of God means more than just merely having your name in the church directory. It means more than just occupying a pew on frequent occasions. I believe as we study God's word, we find very, very clearly that God is looking for those persons who love him more than anything else in this world. I believe God is looking for people who love the Lord's church, who love other people, and truly whose mind is set on things that are above and not on things on this earth. And so it brings to the question that I'd like for us to think about for a few minutes this morning, and that is, what are you worth to the Lord's church here at Glenpool? What am I worth? What's our value? And I think when we open our Bibles, we find very quickly that the scriptures require us to make a personal examination. You know, at the end of time, when we stand before God, it'll be me and him. We won't answer for each other, but we'll stand before him and answer for the life that we lived here on this earth. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless instead you fail to meet the test." He says, test yourself. A long time ago, I went to school, and I do mean a long time ago, and I didn't mind school. I enjoyed school. The thing I didn't like was homework and tests, and never did take a real liking to those things. One of the things I did love was the teacher who would tell us that we're going to have a test and was going to grade it on a curve, because I knew I probably wouldn't study like I ought to. But I was just hopeful that I could make a poorer score and yet get a better grade. Never worked out good. There was always a nerd in there that would study and make a perfect score, Mr. Williams. And they would always set that curb. And so there wasn't a curb anymore, and it didn't work. And I'm going to tell you this morning, it doesn't work in the Christian life either. It doesn't work in your spiritual life. There's no curb. Jesus made it real clear. He said, you're either for me or you're against me. And that's the way it is. There's no middle ground. We just took part of the memorial service to our Lord. And we're told to examine ourselves again as we prepare to partake of this Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 28 of that chapter, Paul says, let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink the cup. And you know, in light of God's love, as he sent Jesus to this earth to redeem us, in light of, as he said, the joy set before him in coming and doing this, in light of the fact that he died a cruel and horrible death on that cross to redeem us, sinful people, what do we need to examine? I think we have to examine ourselves to determine if our faith is genuine. Do I really believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of those who seek him? And then does my life show that? That it's not just something I say, it's something I live. I also think that as I look at my own life, that I need to look and see if my commitment is genuine. Again, we talk a lot about good things. But I need to look at my life and say, is my commitment to God as it should be? Is he first in my life and everything? That I truly seek him first in the decisions of my life. And finally, I think another thing that we examine is my heart right with God? We have a song in our book, Is My Heart Right with God? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is it. So it's important that my heart have its right place. In Proverbs 27, verse 19, it reads, as in water, face reflects face. And so the heart of man reflects man. This morning, what I'd like for us to do is each one of us look into our own hearts as we speak and see what reflection there is there in our own life. And I know as I examine my own heart and my own life, there are a lot of important questions that I ask myself that we need to ask as part of God's family. I have to ask myself, am I an asset or am I a liability to the Lord's church? Am I helping? Do I understand the urgency of what the Lord's church is about? Do I understand the urgency of my own life and the preparation that I have to make to be his child if I want to live with him forever? Am I a help or a hindrance in the work of the Lord? Am I making the abilities and the strengths that I have a part of this congregation to help us grow spiritually as well as in numbers? Does my being a member of the Lord's church here add strength and character to our congregation? Again, am I doing things that will positively help us to draw closer to God? Am I looking for opportunities to serve? Do I look for things that I can do to build up the church as well as my own life? Do I encourage the fellow members of my church family by attending every service I can, and when I come that I greet everyone with love and that I really mean that? And that when I greet someone that I show a concern for their needs, whether it be physical or spiritual, that I care because I'm one of God's children? Or if truth were known, do I manifest a spirit of indifference, not only in reference to my own salvation, but that of others? Who am I? What is my value? What's the standard to determine my value to God and to the church? We could spend the rest of the day just going through passages. in which God shares with us the kind of people that we need to be. And I wrote down three or four that just came to my mind immediately. Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, Bob, if you're going to be valuable to my church, you need to present your body in a certain way, as a living, a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. In 1 John 2 and 15, he says, you can't love the things of this world. They're not from the Father. There's neat things there in the world. There are. They're great things. But he says, you can't put them ahead of me because they're not from the Father. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus says, here's your priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. As Jesus ministered to the needs of others, he shared with me, you have to deny yourself. Boy, that's hard. Boy, that's hard. He says, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. For illustration, I want to think first of all, real quickly, just exactly what the standard that a business usually looks for. Probably every adult in here has either worked or is working or will work at some point. Stay with me here. I want to see if you agree with me that when you took a job, that this is kind of what went through your mind. A person who takes a job feels it is his or her duty to be worth something to the business firm that employs and trusts him. I want them to trust me. I want them to know that I'm here for a purpose. Feeling this way, each person should go to work filled with enthusiasm to be the best person he can be. This person should be thankful that he has a job. And finally, if this person has this kind of character, and suddenly they become disappointed, discouraged, disillusioned, and they just decide to quit, would the powers that be of that company go find that person and beg them to come back? Is that the kind of person that you want to be in the business world? Are we like that spiritually? Do we have that kind of urgency to be that person that works for God in a way that people see? Not for our glory, but for His glory. You know, another good way is one that we hear about quite a bit, to measure our own worth to the church and also to see ourselves as other people see us, and that's to ask a question, and you've heard this before. What if every member of the church were just like me? What kind of church would it be at Glenpool? What if we were all like Ben Williams? Boring. I'm lucky if I can read a book to my grandkids. What if we were all like Sonny? What if we were all like Bob? What if we were all like Jesse? What if we were all like Penny? We could sit here and we could speculate all the rest of this day on suggestions of what makes good people and what makes us valuable. But you know, the standard that really counts is the one that we find in the New Testament. And Jesus answered the question real plain in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20. He said, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Thus, you will recognize him by their fruits. And there it is. You want to know value? You want to know what you're worth to God? You want to know what you're worth to Glenpool here? You know, God has given every human being in here abilities. They're all different. He's given all of us opportunities. Sometimes we get to going so fast we don't even see them. But we have opportunities, we have abilities to do things, to increase our value to Him, to our church. And you know, our value is going to be determined by what we produce with those things that He's given us. That's what we'll find out. That's where we find out what we're worth. This isn't long. Tried to make it a little longer, but it's been a long week. But I do want to suggest a few things to you as we close. Notice that time. I'm only kidding. I'm tired. Let me suggest some things that I really believe are ways that we can experience the joy of serving and that we can really produce the value in the lives that Jesus wants from us. And I'm not going to tell you that this is the entire list, because it's not. There are lots of things that we can do, but I do believe that if we think about these things, that it will help us to seriously understand who we are in God's church. And the first thing I would suggest is that we can experience Christian joy and provide value in our lives by faithful attendance to the services of the Lord's church at every opportunity we can. And don't get me wrong, I know that there are hindrances. I know there are health issues. I know there are other things. As I said, being here at every opportunity that we can. And not just being here, but getting excited about being here with God's family. You know, there's 168 hours in a week. We meet four. If you really enjoy this, it's not enough. If you get what you need to get from being here, it's not enough. It's like extra adrenaline to get excited again, to be with fellow Christians, people who love God, and be with them and want to be better servants of His. I heard something one time during a lesson by another preacher. This is not something that I made up or came with, but he said, you know, he said, not being with the brethren in worship robs a person two ways. One, if I'm not here, I can't encourage you. I can't greet you and say, hey, man, I'm glad to see you. How are things going? Is there anything I can help you with? I'm glad to see you. Glad everything's going good. We lose that opportunity. And we are told so often in the New Testament, one of the most basic things is to be an encourager, to build up. And we need that. Because all of us have those little things in life that aren't fun. And we need a brother or a sister that comes and says, man, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you guys had a great week at camp. I'm glad you shared something with those kids that's a whole lot more important than what they seem to be getting out here on the street. If I'm not here, I can't tell you that. I can't encourage. The second thing is, if I'm not here, I can't let you encourage me. We don't have an opportunity to let somebody tell us hi. I'm glad you're here. Share with us the things at camp. My youngest granddaughter that went to camp was there for the first time, and she told me last night at my house, she said, you know, when Ben wasn't crazy, he was a pretty neat guy. And I said, how often was that? And she said, not very much. The encouragement part of that was she was grinning ear to ear, and she said, I can't wait to go back. You feel good about Frog Road when the weeds are about a foot deep and it's hot? I missed it. I missed it bad. I didn't miss it till Sunday, and then I missed it bad. When we're not here, we don't get to enjoy each other with mutual love and respect for God, for who He is and what He means to us as a family. Secondly, I think we can demonstrate an unwavering loyalty to the divine authority of Christ. Remember the little bracelets that came out? God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Man, would churches be better if we really did? If we really did that, if we understood God made this world. He created this universe. He put it in action. He still is in charge. And we need to let Him be. And we need to conform to His will. Like our passage in Colossians said, we need to think about the heavenly things where Jesus is at the right hand of God. And let Him dictate to us just how valuable we are and what we can do for Him. Thirdly, I think we could find joy by living a godly life with all those that we contact on a daily basis. And well, we see a lot of people off and on. Another phrase that I heard one time from a preacher, he said, you know, You want to make sure that you maintain your Christianity, because that person that you come in contact, you may be the only person, the only Jesus they see. Now, he's not putting us up to be equals with Jesus. What he's saying is we may be the only person that encourages them with the value of being one of God's children. And how important is that in our world with the things that are being put out there? We may be the only Jesus that people see. Jesus said it like this. He said, let your light so shine that people see your good works. Not for you. Glorify your Father in heaven. Recognize who you are and your value to him and what you can do. Another thing I think we can give special thought to is, and that is being cheerful, enthusiastic toward the work of the church. I'll put it in Okie, it ain't easy. It's not easy doing some of the things that we do, making the decisions that we make. But I want to tell you this. My Bible says we're about saving souls. And we need to be glad that God made salvation possible. And that he shared it with me, and I need to be glad to share that with somebody else. I need to be excited about the Lord's church and what we're about, and loving him again above all things. And finally, kind of just putting us all together, I think we'll find joy, we'll find value when every single one of us assumes our own personal responsibility in his church. And that may be in the giving of our time, our talents, our money, or whatever that God has given us the ability to do, if we use those things to ensure the success and the welfare of the Lord's church here at Glenpool. Folks, you're valuable. In fact, think about it. We know about evangelists. Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We had 6 lessons on elders and deacons. Guess what? If we didn't have a membership, we wouldn't need him. We wouldn't need elders. We wouldn't need deacons. Because there wouldn't be anybody here. You're valuable. You're the family of God here. And we all work together. There's no one better than the other. We're all made in God's image, and he loves all of us. We need to understand that and work together. I want to again remind you of what the Colossian passage said. Put your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. I want each of us to truly understand the wonderful relationship that we have with Christ as Christians. I want us to be very aware of the promises. I want us to be very aware of the joys. Now, he'll share with us the hardships. It's all part of, as he said, enduring, becoming more patient, becoming more like him. I want each of us to truly see the blessings of Christian servanthood. Jesus gave the example. He said, I came to serve, not be served. We need to be servants. I want each of us to realize our true value both to God and to each other here. And I want us to make sure we're living in a way that shows God to be the most valuable thing in our lives. And there's our key. If I'm going to be valuable, then that's got to be my priority. God has got to be the most important thing in my life and in your life. If you're not a Christian here this morning, then you don't have that joy. I hate that, but you don't. You aren't a part of that family that's on its way home, as we sing in our songbooks. Good news, you can be. You can be. God wants you to be a part because you're valuable. Repent of your sins, confess him to be Lord, and be buried with him by baptism. And we're told when you come up, you're a new person. And begin that spiritual life of joy and service and value, recognizing that promise of eternal life that goes with it. This morning, you may be a Christian that's allowed something in this world to kind of switch places with God. And that happens because we all fall short when we do things like this. Again, you can change that. Good news, God still loves you. God still values you. Certainly, we would be happy to pray with you and for you if you have that need. If you're with us this morning, you'd like to be a part of this family, it's a great bunch. A great family. we are doing our best to be valuable to God in this community. We'd love for you to help us. We'd love for you to be a part of that. This morning, if you have any need, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. And if you have a need, won't you come while we stand and sing?